Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
John chapter 7, verse 40 to 53. John chapter 7, verse 40 to 53. Now, keep in mind while we read this text, the topic, the Pharisees' big mistakes. The Pharisees' big mistakes. Let's read John chapter 7, verse 40. Many of the people, therefore, when they heard this saying, said, of a truth, this is the prophet. Now the saying they're referring to is, he that believeth on me, as the scriptures hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. It was a reference to the Holy Spirit. When they heard this, they said, of a truth, this is the prophet. Now verse 41, others said, this is the Christ. But some said, shall Christ come out of Galilee? Hath not the scripture said that Christ cometh of the seed of David, and out of the town of Bethlehem where David was? So there was a division among the people because of him, and some of them would have taken him, but no man laid hands on him. Then came the officers to the chief priests and Pharisees, and they said unto them, why have you not brought him? The officers answered, never man spake like this man. Then answered them the Pharisees, are ye also deceived? Have any of the rulers or of the Pharisees believed on him? But this people, who knoweth not the law, are cursed. Nicodemus saith unto them, he that came to Jesus by night, being one of them, doth our law judge any man before it hear him, and know what he doeth? They answered and said unto him, art thou also of Galilee? Search and look, for out of Galilee ariseth no prophet. And every man went unto his own house. You know, the trouble with religious Pharisees is that they are often very judgmental and proud, and so they attempt to destroy or discredit anyone or anything that doesn't match their narrow understanding of religion. And because of that, the Pharisees in Jesus' day missed the fact that Jesus was their Savior, that Jesus was their Messiah. They thought that they were right and that he was wrong, and no amount of evidence to the contrary was going to change their minds. Their big mistakes were that they disregarded some very important facts. Now let's look at it real carefully. First of all, they disregarded his preaching. They disregarded his preaching. Look in verse 40 and 41 again. Many of the people, therefore, when they heard this saying, said, of a truth, this is the prophet. Others said, this is the Christ. Then look down in verse 45. Then came the officers. These are the officers that were sent by the Pharisees to get him. Then came the officers to the chief priests and Pharisees, and they said unto them, why have you not brought him? The officers answered, never man spake like this man. So the officers that were sent from the chief priests and the Pharisees, and the common people that were there hearing Jesus Christ preached, regarded his preaching, and they knew that Jesus Christ was in fact somebody very special. The officers knew that with the preaching that he did, he was certainly not somebody that they were going to be able to arrest in that crowd of people. The people that heard him knew that he was the prophet, and we've made several trips back to the Old Testament to find out who the prophet is. He's the prophet of Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 15 and 18, that was promised by the Lord God to come, the prophet that was going to be like Moses. And, of course, the Christ is the Messiah who was prophesied by Daniel, and that's the person that they were looking for then, supposedly, and that's the person they're looking for now, supposedly. They knew that he was somebody special. The chief priests, the officers, they were not about to try to arrest him in front of all those people. And the others believed that he was a prophet or the Christ. The only real difficulty they had is they did not figure out, at least at this time, Christ coming from Galilee when he was supposed to come from Bethlehem. But we'll talk about that a little later in the message. Now, what was it about his preaching that convinced these people? And what was it about his preaching that the Pharisees disregarded? Well, there's several things. Look in Luke chapter 4, verse 36. Luke chapter 4, verse 36. They were all amazed and spake among themselves, saying, "What a word is this? For with, watch it, authority and power he commandeth the unclean spirits, and they come out." So the first thing they recognized in his preaching was authority and power. By contrast, according to Matthew chapter 7, verse 29, there was something very distinctly different about Jesus' preaching and the preaching of the scribes. Matthew 7:29 says, "For he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes." So immediately these people recognized the difference because his preaching was so powerful he could cast out unclean spirits, and with his word he could forgive sins, raise the dead, heal the lepers, and or cleanse the lepers and heal the sick, and, you know, all that other stuff. But then also they recognized an authority in his preaching and in his teaching that was not in the teaching and preaching of the scribes. Look at John chapter 8 and verse 45. Jesus Christ nailed the Pharisees on this point. He said, "Because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not." And that's what marked and characterized the preaching of the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything he said was true. There was no way in the world anybody was ever going to challenge him and find him wrong in anything that he said or did, and they tried numerous times, because his preaching was truth, and because these men were listening to the devil and not to the Lord God, they missed the truth, and they ended up believing a lie. So they disregarded his preaching, and that was a tragic mistake on the part of the Pharisees. But that's not all. Another big mistake that the Pharisees made is that they disregarded his birthplace. You see here in verse 41, it says, "Shall Christ come out of Galilee? Hath not the scripture said that Christ cometh of the seed of David and out of the town of Bethlehem where David was?" Yes, in fact, the scripture does say that. In Psalm 132, in verse 11, anybody like a scribe or a Pharisee that was acquainted with the scripture would know that the Messiah was going to come from the line of David. Psalm 132, verse 11, "The Lord hath sworn in truth unto David, he will not turn from it. Of the fruit of thy body will I set up," or set upon, "thy throne." And then when you read in Matthew chapter 1, verse 1, the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the Bible says, and it's proven out down Mary's line and Joseph's line both, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. So in fact, according to his birthplace, he's right, because he came from the seed of David, and he also came out of the right town. He came out of Bethlehem. Now, when the wise men showed up to talk with Herod, about the birth of the king of the Jews, he had the people check it out, and they determined that the king of the Jews, the Christ, was to be born in Bethlehem of Judea. "For thus it is written by the prophet, Thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel." And that came from the chief priest and the scribes who searched the scriptures. And that is found in your Bible in Micah chapter 5, verse 2. Well, Matthew chapter 2, verse 1 says, "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea." So what's the problem? They disregarded his birthplace. He came from the right genealogy, that is, the genealogy of David, and he came from the right place, that is, Bethlehem of Judea. So they say, shall Christ come out of Galilee? Well, in fact, he would spend some time in Galilee, but the truth of the matter is, he was born in Bethlehem of the seed of David, and they chose to disregard that. Second big mistake that the Pharisees made. The first one was disregarding his preaching. The second was disregarding his birthplace, but that's not all. The third mistake they made is they disregarded their own deceit. Look at verse 47. After the officers came back and said, never man spake like this man, then answered them the Pharisees, are ye also deceived? Now, wait a minute. In order to be deceived, that is, you would have to believe a lie. Well, in John chapter 8, since they were of their father the devil, and they chose to believe a lie by following their father, then they wouldn't regard the truth. We've already seen that. But the problem is, once that deception sets in as a person, but in this case particularly as a religious Pharisee, the deception grows. It doesn't get smaller. I'll show you what we're talking about. Look in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 13. One of the signs of the perilous times before the end time is this. 2 Timothy 3:13. Evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. How? Deceiving and being deceived. So these Pharisees had been deceiving these people for a while. And then, when the Lord Jesus Christ came by and started preaching the truth, they went into greater deception, not less. They were deceiving, and they were deceived, and they disregarded their deceit. They were so deceived that in Matthew chapter 27, verse 63, after the Lord Jesus Christ had been crucified and after he had been buried, they came to Pilate and made a request. They said to Pilate, sir, we remember that that deceiver said, while he was yet alive, after 3 days I will rise again. Well, you know something. After 3 days, he did rise again, and yet they called him a deceiver. And here they're accusing these officers of being deceived. They were the ones that were deceived. And that's what so often happens to religious Pharisees today. They get so right in their creeds, in their works, and in their religious doctrines, that when you preach to them the simplicity of salvation by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, they say, you're deceived. And you're not. They said, we remember that that deceiver said, well, he did rise after 3 days. And when it was reported to the chief priests and Pharisees, by the guard that was there at the tomb, exactly how it happened, they paid him off with bribery money to lie. So these guys are crazy to disregard their own deceit. You know, people ask me sometimes, do you think the people that lie in preaching, and do you think the people that lie in teaching know they're lying? And the answer is sometimes they don't know. They've been taught wrong, and by their bad teaching, they go on disregarding the truth. But some know exactly that they're lying, and they are willfully deceiving, like the old prophet deceived the young prophet back there in the book of Kings. When the young prophet came in to Jeroboam, I think about 1 Kings 13, and he prophesied to him the destruction of the altar at Bethel and the raising up of a king named Josiah that hadn't even been born yet. The old prophet sent for that young prophet and told him to come eat with him, and the young prophet said, I'm not supposed to do that. He told me to go out by another way and not sit around and eat. He said, well, an angel appeared to me and said, it's okay. So the young prophet went back. And then the old man prophesied by the Spirit of the Lord the death of the young man for listening to the lies of the old man. The old man knew that he was lying to the young prophet and literally destroyed that young prophet's life. So there are a lot of them that are deceiving, and they know they're deceiving. These Pharisees knew they were deceitful. Look in John chapter 8, verse 46. Jesus asked them a question, which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. You therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. What's the problem? They said in verse 48, Say we not well that thou art a Samaritan and hast a devil? Well, wait a minute. I thought the big argument was, does Jesus Christ come out of Galilee? As a matter of fact, it's going to come up again in this particular chapter. The big question was, what about coming out of Bethlehem? Well, I hate to tell you this, but Bethlehem is in Judea, and Nazareth and Capernaum, where Jesus Christ hung out, was in Galilee. And the woman at the well in John chapter 4 recognized immediately that Jesus Christ was a Jew and not a Samaritan. And they say in their deception, say we not well that thou art a Samaritan? Not even close. And hast a devil? Not even close, you old blasphemous Pharisee. What's the problem? They made a big mistake by disregarding their own deceit. You see, when I was younger, you know this if you've listened to these broadcasts, I grew up in a religion that wasn't right. And it was a long time before I would admit that I had been deceived. Now, what broke me of it, what finally convinced me, is that I started reading the Bible, and I read the Bible to see what it said and not to prove that it was wrong based upon what I'd already been taught. And when I began to read the Bible to see what it said instead of to try to prove what I'd been taught was right and what it said was wrong because of what I'd been taught, I got away from my own deception. There are a lot of friends of mine who are in a similar religion who have deceit about certain things, and the reason is they do not want to find out what the Bible says about the religion they're in to prove that what they're in is wrong. They don't want to see that, and neither do these Pharisees, and that's a bad problem. Don't disregard your own deceit if you're deceived about the religion you're in. So they disregarded Jesus' preaching. They disregarded his birthplace, and they disregarded their own deceit. Those are three tragic mistakes the Pharisees made, but that's not all. Another big mistake of the Pharisees was that they disregarded their dishonesty. Look in verse 48. They said, have any of the rulers or of the Pharisees believed on him? Now that is a totally dishonest question that was being asked of the officers. The officers didn't know, but the Pharisees did know, or should have known, because right there in their midst was a fellow named Nicodemus, and Nicodemus believed on him. Nicodemus had already visited with Jesus Christ in John chapter 3. Verse 1, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews, and Jesus Christ told him he must be born again, and we find out later that old Nicodemus shows up with Joseph of Arimathea to take down the body of Jesus Christ and to deliver him to the sepulcher. Nicodemus, a man right there in the own company with them, was a ruler of the Jews that believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. But that's not all. Look in John chapter 12. John chapter 12, verse 42 says, nevertheless, among the chief rulers now, not just some, you know, bumps on the log, nevertheless, among the chief rulers, also many believed on him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue, for they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. So they disregarded not only their own deceit, but they disregarded their dishonesty. That question right there, had they been honest, they should have said, have any of the rulers or of the Pharisees believed on him, and waited for the answer? In fact, they asked that to intimidate the officers, to show the officers how they themselves had been deceived. And that was dishonest. There were many of the chief rulers, including Nicodemus, that had believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. So they disregarded his preaching. They disregarded his birthplace. They disregarded their own deceit. They disregarded their dishonesty. And the next thing they disregarded was their misjudgment. Look in verse 49. But this people who knoweth not the law are cursed. Now that's a big word, to put a curse on somebody. That's a big word. That's a bad word. And they said about all those people that were listening to Jesus Christ and regarding his words as true, they said, these people are cursed. The truth of the matter is, Jesus said, the harlots and publicans go in before you. Why? Because they really were cursed. Now, according to the Bible, what would it take for somebody to be cursed? Well, look in Galatians chapter 3 at verse 10. Galatians chapter 3 verse 10 says, for as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, Cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. Now Jesus Christ told these Pharisees a little earlier in John chapter 7 that they were guilty of having broken the law. And they mocked him, they scoffed him. The truth of the matter is they had broken the law. And cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. The fact of the matter is they call these people that were trusting Jesus Christ cursed. The truth of the matter is those were the people that were being made free, and the cursed ones were the Pharisees and the scribes and the chief rulers that were condemning them in the Lord Jesus Christ. Look back in Deuteronomy chapter 27. This was their misjudgment, and they disregarded it. They wouldn't go back to the law and find out, in fact, what they were supposed to do. Look in Deuteronomy chapter 27, and look at verse 24. Speaking of cursing, the curses in Deuteronomy chapter 27 start all the way up there at verse 15, but look down here in Deuteronomy chapter 27, verse 24. Cursed be he that smiteth his neighbor secretly. Like what they did when he was in his trial and judgment. And all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed be he that taketh reward to slay an innocent person, like when they paid off Judas Iscariot to betray him. And all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed be he that continueth or confirmeth not all the words of this law to do them. And the people shall say, Amen. You know what? In fact, the Pharisees made a misjudgment. They were the ones that were cursed, not the people that were believing Jesus Christ, and certainly not the Lord Jesus Christ himself. That's the problem with religious Pharisees of Jesus' day. That's the problem with religious Pharisees of your day. They curse you and die and go to hell themselves without Jesus Christ. That's a tragedy. That's a huge mistake. Now, the Pharisees disregarded his preaching, his birthplace, their own deceit, their dishonesty, their misjudgment, and they disregarded their law. You say, wait a minute, didn't Deuteronomy just say, cursed is he that confirmeth not all the things that are written in this law, cursed is he that continueth not in all things that were written in the law? Yeah, that's what it said. And then now you're telling me they disregarded their own law, and yet they thought they were so self-righteous that they could curse these other people believing in Jesus Christ and not curse themselves? Yeah, that's exactly right. That's exactly what the Bible says. Look in verses 50 and 51. Nicodemus saith unto them, he that came to Jesus by night being one of them, doth our law judge any man before it hear him and know what he doeth? Now the answer is, no, the law does not judge any man before it hear him. Every man in the Old Testament was promised a fair hearing. You want to see it? One of the places of several that it shows up is Deuteronomy chapter 1. And in Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 17, the Bible says, ye shall not respect persons in judgment. That is, if he's poor, but he's right, he gets off for his righteousness. If he's poor and he's wrong, you don't take pity on him. He has to suffer for his wrong. If he's rich and he's wrong, you don't accept his bribe. And if he's rich and he's right, he gets off for his righteousness, though you might despise his riches. You don't respect any persons in judgment. But ye shall hear the small as well as the great. Now, they're not going to give Jesus Christ a fair hearing. He doesn't answer for himself during his trial. You know that when you've read the rest of your Bible. They accuse him of blasphemy because they didn't believe him. And in fact, he was not accused of blasphemy. He wasn't guilty of blasphemy. He was accused of it. They did not give him fair hearing, and they crucified him. They are unlawful. So they disregarded their law. Let me tell you something. That was a very unwise thing, because the law was set there as a schoolmaster to lead them to Christ. And the fact that they missed Christ meant that they were never under the schooling of the law. They simply used the law to further their own selfish benefits. So they disregarded their own law. But that's not all. Finally, they disregarded their ignorance. They said in verse 52, art thou also of Galilee? Search and look for out of Galilee. We're so smart. Out of Galilee ariseth no prophet, and every man went unto his own house. So they disregarded their own ignorance. Now listen, Jesus Christ, in fact, did have association in Galilee. It came up earlier in the text in verse 41, shall Christ come out of Galilee? Well, actually, he came out of Bethlehem. We saw that. He did come out of the line of David. We saw that. But he spent the rest of his time up in Galilee. In Matthew chapter 2, he headed up into Galilee because Joseph and Mary were concerned with Archelaus reigning in Judea. And they went up into Nazareth, but that's because the prophet said he should be called a Nazarene. And that fulfilled a prophecy. As a matter of fact, they had to go back to Nazareth because that's where Mary was from. When the angel Gabriel appeared to her to tell her she was going to have a son, he appeared to her in Nazareth. Luke chapter 1, verse 26. But later on, after Jesus Christ had been there for a while, the Bible says in Matthew chapter 4, verse 12, when Jesus had heard that John was cast into prison, he departed into Galilee. Now, he leaves his hometown of Nazareth and moves. Watch it. Leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is upon the seacoast, in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtalim, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtalim, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness saw a great light, and of them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up. So he moved there and fulfilled prophecy. If they were so smart about the Old Testament, they should have figured that out. But they're so smug in their ignorance, and they say, search and look, for out of Galilee ariseth no prophet. Well, too bad. Jesus Christ had given them a clue. He said there should be no sign given to this wicked and adulterous generation, but the sign of whom? The sign of the prophet Jonas. Well, if you go back to 2 Kings chapter 14, and look at verse 25, guess what you're going to find out? Jonah was from Galilee. 2 Kings 14, verse 25. Oh, which the Lord God of Israel spake by the hand of his servant Jonah, the son of Amittai, the prophet, which was of Gath-Hepher. And if you go to Joshua chapter 19 and look at verse 10 and 13, Gath-Hepher is in Zebulun, and Zebulun is in Galilee, and the poor old Pharisees were just too stupid to figure it out. So their own religious ignorance deceived them, and they disregarded it and missed the whole thing. It's an amazing thing, isn't it? Don't be a religious Pharisee.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.